The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning. Shavua Tov, how are you?
Okay, Tov, Shavua Tov, Chodesh Tov. We're into that auspicious time when it's just before Tisha B'Av. So we're obviously very conscious of the being in the 9 days. I apologize in advance for a slightly croaky voice and a bit of nasal. I hope that I can still be heard okay. Very interesting story about the Israeli authorities that seized this cryptocurrency transfer from Hamas. And I was of the opinion or under the of the understanding that these cryptocurrency transfers are not really visible to the outside. They have this certain secrecy about them and they can't be intercepted. But here we find that the Israel's National Bureau for Counterterror Financing released information about this seizure of cryptocurrencies which had been transferred to Hamas. And apparently the transfer was made in a number of different currencies, not only Bitcoin, which is the one that we know about so much, but also others as well. And it's interesting that it's resulted in people who are very strong supporters of these cryptocurrencies to come out saying, you see, this is okay. This is actually visible to the outside world. It's not all the smoke and mirrors that we hear about in these cryptocurrency transactions, particularly through the ransomware organizations that we've heard of. But in fact, this is a way of tracking some of these transfers. But a very interesting situation where actually Hamas has now been exposed as using cryptocurrencies to receive funding. And also the fact that it's actually been traced.
Which is incredible, because that was the whole point about it, is we thought that they were untraceable. Really, really fascinating story there.
You know, I'm going to look into this a little bit more because, you know, of course, now people are coming out saying, you see, Bitcoin is actually a safe currency. Things can be traced. But there's still something about it which I'm not so sure about.
Absolutely. Let's just talk about Israel having secured a new shipment of Pfizer vaccines.
Yeah, this was announced yesterday that a deal that had been closed with Pfizer to deliver vaccines in September has now been brought forward to delivery on the 1st of August. And we understand that something like 200,000 doses of vaccine are due to be delivered on that day. And what had happened in Israel is that the vaccination program, which has been underway, particularly focused on the younger people, the 12 to 18-year-olds, actually stopped for a day because the Israeli authorities decided that they wouldn't have enough vaccine to give people second doses of the vaccine in time. And so they decided to stop the vaccination program pending the outcome of these negotiations with Pfizer. As it turns out, Pfizer have now agreed to ship 200,000 doses of vaccine to Israel. Excuse me. So those will be delivered on the 1st of August. And that means two things. First of all, that the program to vaccinate young people continues, even though it had one day in which it was stopped, but it has now been reinitiated. We understand that something like 200,000 doses of vaccine have been administered in the last 2 weeks. So there's still quite a significant program ongoing. But more than that, there is now talk about a third dose, a booster dose, being administered particularly to people who are immunosuppressed, immunocompromised. And so that's also something that seems to be kicking off now. Certain individuals have been identified by their medical health organizations as needing the third dose more than others. And apparently that is due to begin quite soon. We have seen this increase in the number of new cases of corona being diagnosed in Israel. Quite a few new carriers, people who are diagnosed at the moment, something like 4,000 people who are currently ill with the virus. Not a significant increase in the number of people who are seriously ill, but a noticeable increase in the number of people who actually died over the last week or two. Six people apparently were identified as having died from corona over the last week. So some concerning indication, some concerning direction in terms of this. But with this new a shipment of vaccine that will be delivered on the 1st of August. The program, the vaccination program, continues without any effect at all. We have enough vaccines to last us until the end of August, and we've got that whole 700,000 supply, which is due to expire towards the end of August. We also shipped 700,000 doses to South Korea, as we discussed last week, and we will be receiving some 700,000 doses in return from South Korea later in the year, but at least now we have enough to continue the program. We also apparently have 200,000 doses of Moderna, which are currently in Israel. These, we are told, are only authorized for adults. So the program of vaccinating children could not continue with the Moderna doses, but apparently Moderna is being administered to adults who need it.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how the uptake for kids are, if parents are happy to do this and what kind of momentum it gathers.
Initially, there was some reluctance, but when we saw the number of children who were infected in recent weeks, I think parents have taken a slightly different view. There can be absolutely no doubt in anybody's mind, if anybody is out there who is wondering whether being vaccinated is a good idea, you only need to look at the numbers in Israel to see how widespread the virus was before the vaccination program was initiated, and how it was really stopped in its tracks when there was this huge vaccination program that was undertaken. And similarly, we can see with the children that the children were not vaccinated. They were the ones who were largely infected with the Delta variant. Now the program has been rolled out to vaccinate the younger people as well. Let's watch to see what effect it has in the younger generation as well, as they get vaccinated. More and more of them get vaccinated now.
Absolutely. Senior government ministers have met with counterparts from neighboring countries in recent days. Who are they meeting with?
So we understand that there was a secret meeting, not so secret anymore, but a secret meeting between Prime Minister Naftali Bennett and Abdullah King of Jordan that took place late last week. We haven't been told a great deal about what went down at that meeting, but we do understand that the King of Jordan needs as much help as he can get in trying to prop up his own personal status in Jordan. He seems somehow to be under some threat, not only from within Jordan, but indeed potentially from the wider Arab world as well. Let's not forget that he has a very, very important role in the Muslim world as being the head of the Waqf, which is the religious council that rules over the religious sites in Jerusalem. So he has a certain status, a certain standing within the Muslim world and across the world. And anything that might potentially undermine his position within Jordan and across the Muslim world is problematic for him. So it seems as if though Prime Minister Naftali Bennett and indeed the U.S. administration to some degree have been trying to help the king in order to support his own personal situation both within Jordan and across the world. And of course, I have no doubt that the Prime Minister would have spoken to the King of Jordan about other areas of common interest, including the Palestinian situation, including things that are in common across the Israeli-Jordanian border, the fact that the Red Dead canal that was that has been discussed for so long, a link between the Red Sea and the Dead Sea to try somehow to bring water from the Red Sea up to the Dead Sea to somehow fill up the Dead Sea and also to provide water resources to people along that area. That whole project, which has been in discussion for so many years, has now apparently been killed off finally. And I suspect that the government, that the Prime Minister and the King would have wanted to talk a little bit about that to see if there's any way of potentially resurrecting that. There's so much good to be said about that particular project. The other meeting that was interesting was held between Foreign Minister Yair Lapid with his Egyptian counterpart Sameh Shoukry. And this was a meeting that was held in Brussels yesterday on the sidelines of the European Union Foreign Affairs Council meeting, both of those, even though they're obviously not members of the European Union, but both the Egyptian and the Israeli foreign ministers were there as well. Apparently, they had an hour-long discussion, particularly talking about Israeli-Palestinian issues, and with the Egyptian foreign minister saying in particular that he feels that it's important to launch peace negotiations between the two parties and to somehow break the impasse that we suddenly, that we currently see between all of them. We understand that that Foreign Minister Yair Lapid also raised the issue of those Israelis, the two soldiers' bodies and the two Israeli civilians who are in Gaza at the moment, who are being kept captive by Hamas and other groups in Gaza. Apparently their names were raised in their discussions yesterday. It is not clear if there's been any further development in terms of potentially releasing those back to Israel.
Incredible. And the Israeli High Court has overturned a ban on a surrogacy for same-sex couples and single men. More pinkwashing.
Well, this is a very controversial decision that was taken yesterday by the High Court of Justice. And again, I'm interested to hear what listeners think about all of this. This is a classic clash between the religious community, who obviously have this notion coming from halakha that same-sex couples are something that we should not support, and the possibility of single men raising children is also something that goes against the so-called traditional family values that we see within Judaism. On the other hand, the High Court yesterday decided that it feels that there are human rights violations within the law, which potentially within the law, which currently does not support the idea of surrogacy for same-sex couples and for single men. And the High Court has said, has given the government 6 months to sort this out and to bring a law which will effectively change the situation to allow equality across all sectors of the community, including single men and including same-sex couples who wish to enter into surrogacy arrangements in order to raise children. The whole idea of surrogacy is relatively widespread, quite commonly done in Israel. Surrogates are generally obtained from abroad. The money is paid in order to support those surrogates while they are pregnant in order to raise the children. And then the Israeli couple or the individuals concerned go abroad, pick up the child, bring them to Israel. There is often a battle as to whether that child is even entitled to Israeli citizenship, given that the mother of the child is in the most part not Israeli. But at least the court has now decided that this is a, should be available to all different types of sectors of the community. And of course, the health minister, our health minister, Nitzan Horowitz, is openly gay. He has welcomed this decision by the High Court. On the alternative side, the leader of the ultra-Orthodox Shas party, Aryeh Deri, wrote on Twitter that he felt that the court's decision was another serious blow to Israel's Jewish identity. And in his words, most of the nation desires safeguarding the tradition of Israel preserving Jewish family values. What do you guys think about this?
Incredible. Look, I think it's absolutely, I think this was long time in coming, and I think that's absolutely great. But I'm pretty sure that not everybody would agree with me. What do you think? 34519 or 061-895-1019. What do you think about this change of law that will ultimately allow same-sex couples to have a surrogate in order to have children? Sorry, Anthony.
I was just going to say, does this really undermine our traditional family values? While I know that, you know, from the learnings that we have in the Torah, this idea of same-sex couples is definitely not supported. But I do know that we do support the idea of raising children, of having future generations, of teaching our children. You know, we do definitely support that concept within Jewish traditional family values. So is that something that we should deny of people who, you know, don't enter into, you know, the traditional type of relationship that we have come to expect and to understand as being, you know, usual and acceptable within our familiar traditional Jewish values?
34519 or 0618951019. I would love to hear your thoughts on that. Anthony, it's just gone 8 o'clock, or about to go 8 o'clock. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at the same time.